You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You still got your stuff, right?
Here's the thing. I don't need it. I don't need anything else. I don't need anything else.
Yeah, I got look,
Alden
I get
Gamble
it.
Is still on the wall. I'm good to go, bro. I am good to go.
Did the note with your DirecTV remote just say, go Lakers? Is that all that it said? Not I'm moving out or not I can't do this anymore. Just go Lakers. And then that's it.
And one battery was taken. She took one battery. Just that's sending a message.
Okay.
If you want to send a message and you want to take one freaking battery, now we're talking war.
You just pressed on a bruise because you've just landed on a topic in the Rodgers household that will enrage me instantly.
Here we go.
My children do that, Al. They take one battery out of the remote control. One. Like somehow they need one for the whatever it is, like the PlayStation remote or whatever it might be.
Yep. Controller.
Take them both. That's fine because you pick up the remote and you're like, okay, it's light. I know that it's missing. Okay, fix it. They take one and they do it all the time. I've been over this again, guys. If you take this out, there's a whole thing of batteries in the kitchen drawer. Just replace your stuff with the brand new ones. That's fine, but don't leave it with one once a month. I'm dealing with a one battery remote.
Here's the thing. What's the one thing you arguably use most throughout a 24-hour day? It's the remote.
Yes.
Can you take a battery from something that's not being used? Because I'm sure there's 38 other items that you don't use every single day.
I'd rather you take them out of the smoke detectors than take them out of the remote control. Let's prioritize here.
That beeping noise in the background. You're just like, it is what it is. You get used to it after a couple of days.
You don't even hear it. After a couple of weeks, you don't even hear it anymore. It's totally fine. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. We'll get to your calls here in just one sec. I need Dodger fans to call, and they are. I get being like, hey, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. I get being what's going on with the pitching. I get why was Julio in the game. I get all these things. I get being concerned about the hitting, which is my number one concern at this point. Dodgers are okay. It's not great. Don't get me wrong. It'd be a lot better if they were up 2-0, but this is not uh-oh. This is just about over. The Dodgers are fine. Walker Buehler goes out tomorrow and pitches the way that I would anticipate he will, which is basically in a big game, Walker Buehler shows up. Mm-hmm. If he does that and they get a decent amount of hits and they get a couple of hits with runners in scoring position, it's all right. This is not the end of the world. You can see it from here. But it's not the end of the world.
It's not the end of the world, but I think that scenario you just kind of built out, I thought was a scenario for yesterday. You know, I kind of walked into that game thinking to myself, okay, they lost the first one. That's a bullpen day anyways. You're coming off a five-game, tough, grueling set. It might take you a game to kind of, all right, let's go. We got the Atlanta Braves. I thought yesterday would be that game because Scherzer was on the mound, because of everything that you just mentioned. It's not over. Of course it's not over. Okay, they hold court, right? You get the first two in Atlanta. They take care of business. The next three is coming back here to Los Angeles. So you're going to have three in a row at Dodger Stadium. Really, all you have to do, I mean, if, yes, you want to take all three, but let's say – I don't think anybody's going to win three games in a row. So let's say you just take two or three, and now you're going back to Atlanta.
But now you got to win both of them in Atlanta.
Now you got to win both of them in Atlanta. But you said something that you felt like – this was a little different. If you're trying to make comparisons to last season, does it feel a little different than last year? Because you kept saying that up 3-1, no, we're okay, we're fine. And I think it doesn't matter how you and I feel, but I agree with that it does seem different than it did a year ago.
I think it does matter how we feel because I think the way we feel is indicative and representative of what's going on in the field. The reason I felt good about the Dodgers last year against the Braves down 3-1, and I feel less good about this team being down 2-0, has nothing to do with the Dodgers. It has everything to do with the Braves. The Braves are a better team than they were a year ago. The Braves are a more experienced team than they were a year ago. The Braves are – last year – and again, I know I mentioned this on Friday – The Braves kind of spit the bit on a base running error, right? When they ran, they got in a run down between home and third, and that was the thing that spun it. The Dodgers went back out. They got some runs. They took control, and that felt like the turning point in the series. I don't think they're going to give you one of those. So far, the Dodgers have been the team that have kind of had some wonky things go. They made a base running error. I know a lot of you on Twitter
are we not talking about much about it, the Chris Taylor base running error yesterday?
It was a base running error. There's no two ways about it. He made a mistake. He needs to put his head down and keep going at that point and see what happens. The Braves pushed the envelope. They scored a run on a bang-bang play at the plate. That could have gone against him. I think if you're a Dodger fan and you're looking for uh-oh moments, this may be one of them. You can only play with your playoff life on the line so many times before eventually something bad's going to happen.
Sure.
And so far, they did it against St. Louis. They survived. They did it twice against the Giants and survived. Eventually, one of those games is not going to go your way. So they need to win a few of these games. If not, I do think they need to get very, very close to winning all three of these games at Dodger Stadium if they're going to win the series. And it doesn't matter. If they don't win tomorrow, it's a wrap. And I think they're going to win tomorrow.
All right, if you want to be a part of the show, 877-710-ESPN. You're driving around listening on the ESPN app, and you want to talk Dodgers baseball, you could do that now. JC in Ventura. JC, what's going on? You're on the Travis and Sliwa show.
How you guys doing? So I agree with Travis. I think we're not hitting. I think we went from battling in the box to swinging at the flies. And the other thing, question came to mind when I was thinking about this whole situation, what's going on, I was thinking, man, Travis must have done something to his mustache. He must have tried to clean it up or
JC,
something like that.
No, JC, I'm glad you brought that up. That's really the most important thing that we've brought up so far this morning. Thanks for calling in, JC. Trav, what did I tell you during when we were prepping? I said, why is it starting to look normal? Like, why is it starting to look normal? And I know what's happening. You're growing things out. You're kind of letting it go. But it's starting to become a little normal. Let me just use as an example. Didn't you say, where'd you go yesterday where you're getting kind of like, kind of nods?
It was on
like,
Saturday, and my son had a baseball game, so we go, we were in lovely Cypress, California, and we take him to the baseball field, and then it's an hour before the game starts, so I went to go get a cup of coffee, right?
Yep.
And I'm in the Starbucks, and I'm getting a lot of head nods and like, just like, hey, how you doing, from guys that I typically wouldn't. Guys that are also wearing a mustache like this. Guys that are maybe wearing some sleeveless shirts. Guys that are feeling a certain way about this. And I'm digging it. I'm touching a whole new part of the community that I never have before. And I'm enjoying it a great deal.
Did you trim anything? Did you do anything over the weekend?
Nothing
at all.
Not a thing. Not a thing. Here's something that's going on. This is from Anthony Racone on Twitter. Braves are definitely the fresher team and have not had to retool their lineups and pitching rotation like the Dodgers. It's a result of having to play in the one-game wild card. It's not an excuse. It's just the nature of the situation. Maybe the wild card has a little – it has to do with the last 2 months of the season. It has to do with the last 2 weeks that the Dodgers have been through. It's not just one game, because if the Dodgers – we're five games behind the Giants with 2 weeks to go. They're not going to catch them. They take their foot off the gas. It's 2 months, Al, of life and death baseball that's catching up to them.
Look, maybe it goes back to this, and I still stand firm that I was a fan of them playing till the end. I thought you battled for so long and you were still within, you know, reach of winning the division. I thought it was a good strategy to do it. You had mentioned, hey, a couple weeks left. You know what? I don't know how important it is to walk into this, you know, continue to fight for the – go ahead. You know what? Let the wild card be the wild card. Just accept the fact that your guys are going to be fresh and they're going to be healthy going into the postseason. And what happened, Trav, is, like you said, through 162 games, every game mattered. Through that wild card game, every inning and pitch mattered. Against the San Francisco Giants, you literally were on the edge of your seat the entire way. Okay, a couple of games, you know, you had some distance between the Giants, but there were three games, two of them you lost where you couldn't get a run, and then the final game in Game 5 where everything was down to a pitch here and there, whatever the case is. Yeah, maybe there is a little bit of that that's catching up. You said one other thing I want to make mention of, and then we'll get some of the phone calls. You talked about for Atlanta – how it seems a little bit different because it's the Braves. It has less to do with the, you know, less to do with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
What I find fascinating, and when a team blows a 3-1 lead, right? When a team is up 2-0, how do you approach this? It's not like they're up 2-0 and they're facing the Giants or they're facing the Brewers, you're facing the exact same team. You're in the exact same position that you were in. You know there's caution signs everywhere with this Braves team saying, if you let up for a second, they're going to come back and win it. They did it a year ago. They're more prepared for that as well.
And this is not the same Braves team. They're a better team. They're a more experienced team. All of those. The Dodgers just need to play a little bit better. They need to get a few more hits. They need to prevent a few more hits. And I still think they can win the series. Let's try one more. Thousand Oaks this time. Keith, you're on with Travis Lee. What's up?
Hi, I'm frustrated as a Dodgers fan that Dave Roberts wants to get so cutesy when the whole season long they won 106 games. Let your starters start. Let your relievers come in and do their job and let your batters bat. Why is he making this so complicated?
Well, Keith, it's a question that Al and I were asking earlier. I think it's a really good question.
I don't think we have an answer.
I want to put this out there because every time I hear this, I feel like I need to slam on the brake. Dave Roberts did not come up with this on his own. This is a collaborative decision that the Dodgers landed on collectively. This is a decision that involves Dave Roberts. This is a decision that involves Andrew Friedman. This is a collective team decision. This is not a Dave thing, okay? The days of the manager making these sorts of decisions exclusively are long gone. I agree with what Keith said, Al, that this is not an elimination game like we were talking about against San Francisco. And, hey, what we'll do is we'll pitch Corey Knebel first, and that way we get Julio Urias on the right guys later in the game. Makes some sense. You're chasing something that you don't need to chase at this point. You're chasing, like, creativity points and ingenuity points when let's just play the way that we've played and won 106 games with. Let's just do that. That seems to be a pretty good formula.
Sometimes you have to do things out of desperation or in maybe there's some major league teams out. They just have zero confidence in their bullpen because their bullpen has showed you night in and night out that you can't depend on them. That's what makes this one so odd with the Dodgers. Their bullpen's been good. You can rely on their bullpen. I don't know how many times you're listening to the broadcast where people are highlighting, wow, look what these guys have done, especially over this last, let's say, month or so or 3 weeks or whatever the case is. They've been fantastic. And this is top-down. Kenley, it's actually a lot much larger sample size of how good he's been. That's why last night confused me the most. And when you make the case and somebody makes a case about Dodgers have to hit more, they only had 4 hits. I think Braves had 10 hits and only 5 runs. So it just kind of shows that the hits that the Dodgers got, they were able to, you know, turn it in and manufacture runs. But with all that being said, you're up 4-2 in the eighth. I don't know if you need to treat game two as if it was the final game of the series. And I felt like there were some predicaments or situations they treated it that way.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Look, I think you'll get a more traditional feel in Game 3, especially if Walker Buehler can deliver on what we need him to deliver on, which is, you know what, let's pitch
six
innings.
They need a 6-7, yeah, 100%.
Six innings, one run, yep. you have no chance sort of outing. And you know what else would help a lot too, Al? Go put 5 or 6 runs on the board and just let this thing breathe a little bit where it's not a swing, a pitch, an error, a base running mistake that can swing this back the other way. Don't forget, also, Million Dollar Monday. That is coming up at some point during the show. You're going to want to listen all day
Lions long. Lions-Rams tickets.
All day long. Lions-Rams tickets. Yes, Al, they can win that. They could also win a chance to win $1 million. So make sure that you're paying attention for that. Not just on our show, too. Mason in Ireland, Sedano and Cap, they got you as well. Three teams out of the AFC West. Is it going to happen now? That's next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There we go. There's a little Britney. Mm. Right? I know.
Free Britney.
I don't hate this. She's freed. She's out. Or freed. Or however we want to describe that. I'm thinking about doing our Rams and Lions ticket giveaway, Million Dollar Monday, Slee. I'm thinking about doing it in
Stop
Chris's
being disrespectful. Britney is on.
Voice.
Listen. When Britney comes on, I'm going to just show you the – this is just pure respect. When Britney music is on, we say nothing.
Oh.
Until Zach all the way turns down the music, then do we have the opportunity to speak.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be participating in that. You're welcome to do whatever you'd
Zach,
like to worship
turn Travis's
Britney
mic down until Britney is all the way down. Turn Travis's mic up.
All right. Travis Lee's brought to you by Goodyear. With you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear, more driven. What happened to the good games that were supposed to take place yesterday?
Nothing. There wasn't one good game yesterday.
The Rams were supposed to smoke the Giants, and they did. That game, they scored 28 points in the second quarter, Al. And it could have been more.
Okay, wait. Was it 3-0 at the end of the first quarter?
Yes.
That was a score 3-0? And they
3-0.
That's 28-0 or 28-3 before you blink.
And it could have been 35. There was an interception right before the end of the half that went off Cooper Kupp's hands. If he catches that, I really do think that the Rams score again because they were just absolutely pouring it on at that point. So the Rams did. They took care of their business. Mm-hmm. Did the Chargers charger? Because I was seeing a lot of stuff on Twitter yesterday. So, there you go. The second you start thinking about the Chargers as a good team, they go out and they play against a team on the road. They get smoked. Baltimore, blah, 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 blah. Guys, this is the NFL. Sometimes really good teams get smoked. And that's what it felt like to me yesterday. The Rams got smoked by Arizona. Arizona's a good team. Do we think that the Rams are a bad team, that they're back to their old stuff just because they lost one game? I think that's what happened yesterday to the Chargers.
Okay, this isn't easy for me to do. I'm going to come to the defense of the Chargers. Okay?
Okay.
Week before, they were down 14 against Cleveland. They come back. They win that game. They win 47-42. Week before that was a Monday night football game. The Raiders and the Chargers, kind of a unique game. SoFi Stadium, you know there's going to be a lot of Raider fans. Chargers laid the wood to the Raiders. Week before that was a game against Kansas City. Chargers go on the road.
In KC.
In KC. Yeah. They take care of business there. The only loss the Chargers had coming into the yesterday's game was against Dallas.
Who's lost one game to Tampa.
And Dallas is a great team. I think that game from the Chargers, you know, you just mentioned it. You're going to have games like this. This happens in the NFL. I think it was disappointing, if you know, certainly if you're a Charger fan, or if you're just somebody that thought this is going to be a great game. By halftime, you're like, yeah, I think this game is over. From that perspective, it was disappointing. This I think will be the most interesting, this is going to tell a bigger story of the Chargers. What do they do over the next couple of weeks? Because you've had a lot of the NFL now that have shifted their attention to you and saying, hey, we think Chargers are a good team. And you should, because they've had really good wins. We did our pick'em, I picked the Chargers. I thought the Chargers would, at least even if they didn't win the game, they'd cover, blah, blah, blah. So I think the question about the Chargers is, if you look at that division of the AFC West, you got the Chargers that are 4-2, the Raiders that are 4-2, you got the Broncos and the Chiefs that are both 3-3. Safe to say, I don't think the Broncos are going to do much here. But I just bring that up, Trav. If you would have told the Chargers they're 4-2 through the first six games and they're on top of the AFC West, they'd have signed up for that in a heartbeat.
No question. And their 4-2 is so much different than the Raiders 4-2. Mm-hmm. The records are exactly the same, and I'm not even talking about the fact that they've played head-to-head and the Chargers won that game and won it decisively. I'm just talking about the eye test. I'm talking about when the Chargers play, you watch them, and even yesterday, they just didn't have the ball, right? What is it, nearly 2-1, 40 minutes of possession to 20 minutes of possession. Justin Herbert can't do much if he's only got the ball for a third of the game. You know, you need to at least have him be about 50% of the time that he's out there with an opportunity to move the ball. The Raiders feel like their 4-2 record is more a product of the opponents that they've played and just kind of catching a couple of weird breaks along the way. They beat Baltimore. They shouldn't have won that game. Mm-hmm. And the question I think about them is, let me back up just a touch. Any doubt in your mind that Kansas City makes the playoffs?
No doubt. And let me continue to say, they have not looked good. They really haven't.
Patrick Mahomes has already thrown more interceptions this season than he has at any other point in his career. They've played six games. So that tells you all you need to know.
But you and I still think they'll make the playoffs. I think most people do.
Mm-hmm. I think not only they make the playoffs, I think they're going to win that division. I think that they're probably the second-best team in the AFC right now. Chargers, any doubt in your mind that they make the playoffs?
No, and I think these next couple of weeks will tell a much better story. But, no, they're good. They've already beat a lot of good teams so far. So, yes, I do think they'll make the playoffs.
Okay, so this brings us to the Raiders. Mm-hmm. Do the Raiders feel like a team that's a lock to make the playoffs? Because to me, even though they're 4-2, and that's it just the eye test with the Raiders is, you know what, nah. That they won yesterday in Denver. Denver's lousy. I know that Denver's record looks okay, that they're 3-3 through 6 weeks. Denver's beaten Jacksonville, the Jets, and the Giants. Those are three of the worst teams in the league.
Started 3-0, now 0-3. Yep.
Yeah, the Raiders, to me, feel like they might make the playoffs as that seventh team because no one else is going to step up and take it. Maybe Cincinnati's in the mix right now.
Pittsburgh's 3-3 now, but I don't have much faith in them. I have faith in their system, their coach, but not in their personnel.
Raiders backdoor this thing? Do you think that the Raiders get in just because no one else is good enough to do it?
Who did you pick for this game? The Raiders-Denver game. Did you pick the Raiders or Denver?
I picked the Raiders.
Okay,
because Denver stinks.
Okay, and you were making the case saying, no, this could be one of those rally the troops. You just lost your head coach. I was thinking the other way. I have not been sold at all on the Raiders. And in that Chargers-Raiders game, I picked the Chargers. Raiders impressed me yesterday. Like I know what you're saying about Denver. They're not that good of a team. I think anytime you got to go to Mile High, it's a road game, it's a divisional matchup, it could still be a tough game. Raiders dominated the game. So, and that might be more because Denver was bad. Do the Raiders backdoor and get in? All right, so who's it going to be between? It's going to be between
the Raiders, the Steelers, the Bengals are the teams that are – and I guess the Broncos just record-wise you have to throw. But that's who you're competing with.
Okay,
There's not a good team in the bunch.
So let's say it's either going to be Cincinnati or the Raiders. Which would you pick between the two? I think
Cincinnati.
I'd lean towards Cincinnati.
Cincinnati. Yeah. They seem to have been – by the way, Cincinnati nearly beat Green Bay a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're 4-2. They're 4-2, and again, they've had some weird wins along the way. It just doesn't feel like there's a seventh good team in the AFC at this point. Maybe it's the Raiders. Something else happened over the weekend, Al.
Technically, by the way, Cincinnati and Raiders can get in. Seven get in, right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm
but
not counting the Chiefs. No.
But
no,
who
are
you taking
good.
Out?
No, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
you have to kick somebody else out
yep.
along the way. Something else happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Ed Orgeron got fired kind of, sort of, but not really. They're going to fire him at the end. He's fired, only they're not going to move him out until the end of the year. That's really bad news for SC. That's really bad news for them.
Interesting.
Because LSU is going to eat first. LSU is going to have their pick for whoever they want to have that job. That if USC and LSU get into let's pick Luke Fickle, who, has the second-ranked team in America at Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. You want him? Who do you think he's going to listen to? Who do you think that has a better pitch for what he wants? Basically, whatever it takes, we'll do it. Or, we really liked Clay Helton. He's a nice guy, so we let him stay for 5 years. Ed Orgeron won the championship 2 years ago, and he's on the street, Al. Mm. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's when you put the USC angle to it, that, okay, SC is going to be looking for a head coach end of the year. LSU is going to be looking for a head coach end of the year. Kind of a no-brainer there, right? It's funny when you say eat first. If they're at a buffet line, it's like USC's got to actually sit at the table and just wait. You don't have to just sit and wait for LSU to grab their food first. You're going to let LSU eat first. When they're done eating, then they make a decision where they get to go in for round two, and then USC can come in after that. That's unfortunate, but it's the reality. You're right. They won a national championship 2 years ago, and that's not good enough being a 500 team. And then this year, even beating a couple decent teams, they're going to end up obviously not in the mix for national conversation.
Remember when SC didn't want to hire Ed Orgeron because he wouldn't be able to walk into country clubs and talk to boosters? Maybe they were on to something, because apparently he can't walk into a gas station without getting himself in trouble with one of the wives of a trustee. That seems like a pretty bad idea as well. So SC may have gotten it right in not hiring Clay Helton, but in at least skipping the Coach O entire deal. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Emily's dancing.
It's my favorite Britney song.
There you go. How come you guys are allowed to talk and I'm not?
Just a second, Trav.
Because we respect her.
Yeah, Trav, just a second, buddy.
Oh, I respect old Brit. I'm glad that she's been freed. By the way, I'm frustrated.
Okay.
Chris needs to stop telling people that they need therapy sessions. No, they don't. What the Dodgers don't need a therapy session. Dodger fans don't need a therapy session. What we need is some hits. What we need are to hold on to a two-run lead. They just flashed something on Sport. The Dodgers had won 41 games in a row where they had a two-run or greater lead in the eighth
going
inning.
Going into the eighth, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. You can't ask that pen to be perfect every single day, even though it has been for 40-some-odd games long. They just need to hit.
No,
they just need that hit with some guys in scoring position. They're going to be all right. They're going to be all right. Everybody relax.
It's also odd. By the way, I think that's a good way to put it, and maybe venting is the right way. There's frustration. There's frustration on how they lost. There's frustration in the lack of scoring. There's frustration in and question marks about why are you bringing in Julio in the eighth inning, who, by the way, I mentioned this earlier, you throw him two more batters, looks like two more base hits are coming in.
He didn't
in,
have
you know.
It last night.
He didn't have it.
It happens. You know, and in a starting role.
Neither did Scherzer.
No, Scherzer was he. Speaking of,
well, when I say yeah, he didn't have it,
right.
As in his actual words of saying I didn't have it, and he still pitches well.
And Jock Peterson's a good player and did a whole bunch of good things for the Dodgers for a long time. But when somebody reverses a Max Scherzer pitch and hits it 454
into
feet,
into the chop house,
yeah. You know that he's not on top of his game. That he just did not have it last
imagine
night. Lots of Dodger
eating,
talk.
Imagine you're eating a nice ribeye, just minding your own business, everything going okay, and then next to your plate, a baseball lands just right into the mashed potatoes.
So first of all, I that sounds kind of nice. I don't need a fancy meal at a ball game. I get that maybe somebody else. I just give me my dog and let me have my beer and stand there and scream and yell like an idiot.
Let me tell you something. This is a perfect example. And maybe this is more just as our arenas are going, but there's a lot of times there's a lot of teams that would like to distract you because their baseball team
right.
is not that good. So I remember for many years down in San Diego, there's a sushi area in, you know, I think it was in left field. I want to say maybe it was right field. There's literally like a sushi restaurant there. I'm like, cool. So not going to worry about what's on the field. Just serve them sushi.
Just placate the angry baseball fans with a spicy tuna roll. Everything will be fine.
Everyone will forget it.
ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's do a little factor cap.
All right, guys.
I feel like I have to defend myself every time now, and all I'm doing is just hearing the recording. What's going on, Emily?
So yesterday, Urban Meyer and the Jacksonville Jaguars got their first win of the season.
Huge win.
Yay,
huge win.
Congrats for them. Mm-hmm. But
how bad are the Dolphins?
I don't know if you guys saw at the end of the game how Urban Meyer reacted, but it seems as if Urban Meyer actually hates coaching football. Travis, this is Factor Cap.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's a fact. The look on his face certainly leads you to believe that he would have been anywhere else than in London yesterday winning a football game. You know what it was? This is one of those things that Urban Meyer's one of those guys that doesn't break up with his girlfriend. He just waits for her to do it to him, and he does it by not paying attention, not returning calls, not asking her out on dates, and eventually she's going to be like, you know, this isn't working out for me, and he goes, okay, cool. He's hoping to get fired so he can go take the LSU job or whatever might be available to him, and that win yesterday put a crimp in his plans. So, yeah, it does not look like he loves coaching in the NFL, that's for sure.
I'm going to go Cap. Listen. He's on a one-game winning streak. He took care of the Miami Dolphins. Miami's now 1-5. That's a big win. This is a big win for the Jacksonville Jaguars program. You're right, Trav. He wants to get the hell out of there. I don't know what to tell you.
No,
he looked miserable, and he should be because that team is miserable.
No, they look like an absolutely terrible team. By the way, how lucky did the Chargers get? They reminded me of this because Tua lost to Jags yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
They picked first, and they picked Tua instead of Herbert. The Chargers should hit their knees every night and thank them for taking Tua first.
Can I tell you something? I don't know where you were in that conversation. Tua had definitely some hype coming in. I think there were a lot of people, including myself, was like, wow, you can walk into SoFi Stadium. You got this young quarterback in Tua. He's going to be the face of your franchise. It completely flipped. I don't know how much of that is on the Dolphins, but it's not like the Chargers organization is one where you're like, hey, you just come into here and they'll make you great. They don't have a track record of that as well.
the guys that throw a football like they're winding up to throw a baseball typically don't work. Tua's release is so long and slow, and Herbert's is just whoop. I don't know anything about anything when it comes to scouting football players, but Tua's one of those guys that goes, just the eye test, that doesn't look like it's going to work in the NFL. He's like winding up to throw a slider to Max Muncy as opposed to try to hit a guy on an out route.
Tua's also a lefty. That's also kind of throws some wrenches into lefty quarterbacks. Don't usually have a lot of success in the league.
The Southpaws. Why something against the Southpaws?
I mean, just look at the stats.
South Jersey, Southpaw. He put it towards the poor. South Jersey, Southpaw, Southpaw. That's my Rocky.
That's pretty good. Actually, it was pretty good right there. What else we got in
there? All right. So a San Francisco-based self-driving car company says that they've been having trouble with some of their self-driving cars, with potholes, with puddles, with some rain. Seems like something that could happen a lot when you're driving a car. So you would get into a self-driving car. Alan, is this fact or cap?
It's fact. I would if you're asking me to be the test project while there's rain out there and we're not sure how it's going to go. I won't be that guy. I won't be the first one there. But there's going to come a time, Trav, and I'm all in on this one as much as I talk about. And by the way, listeners, stop sending me robot videos. Don't let that start being like a thing
here. That's your lane. They send me pictures of their burritos. They're sending you pictures of robots.
Some dude sent me a video of this like robot reading, and then it puts its head up when somebody talks to him. I'm like, I don't want to see that. But let me just say this on the self-driving. There's going to come a time. And there's never more – I don't think of a better place in L.A. to have this. Trav, what about when you get to just get in your car, sit in the back seat, you have your laptop on, you're doing whatever you're doing, you're making phone calls, and by the way, you just got to your destination, you were sitting in the back seat. I'm all in for the self-driving cars.
Yeah, Cap, I'm not getting in them, not quite yet. Look, how many times have you been on the freeway or just anywhere really?
Yeah.
And you have to very quickly slam on the brakes because something that you've never seen before just happened right in front of you because some – you know, I was going to use a word I'm not allowed to use. Some person just decides that on the side of the street, they're just going to fling their door open when your car is 10 feet away from it and you have to move out of the way. I don't know if as smart as the Elon Musks of the world are and guys that are putting together self-driving cars, there's a lot of variables that you can't anticipate. I'm gonna let somebody else get in that car for a while.
I'm going to take my chances rather than the idiots that are all on the road, including myself. I'll take my chances.
All right, next one.
So yesterday in the Giants-Rams game, some Giants fans started booing their own team. So it is never acceptable to boo your own team. Travis, is this fact or cap?
Cap, there are a very few select circumstances where I think it's okay. I don't think that the Giants deserve to be booed at home yesterday. They stink. They're missing half their team. The Rams are really good. What did you expect to happen? That's the way it's going to go. I think there's a very narrow lane for you to boo the home team, and that's lack of effort. If you think the team is out there just walking through the motions, not competing, not doing the absolute everything they can do to try to entertain you in that moment, you spend a lot of money on these tickets. If you feel the effort is bad, boo away. If the performance is bad, that's not my deal at all. I'm not doing that. But if you see a guy that's effort sucks, let him have it.
All right, 100% fact. This is actually probably one of the things I like most in sports. And I know that sounds incredibly weird. Trev, when you boo, there's a message you're sending not to just the players. Let's use the Giants as an example. Giants-Rams game yesterday. That's not booing just as to the players that are out there. You're booing to your front office. You're booing to ownership. And maybe the Giants-Rams is a bad example because, like you said, they got a lot of people injured. What did you expect? Rams are arguably the best team in the NFL. But there are a lot of predicaments where you want that fan base to let ownership know this is BS. You're not doing your job. That front office isn't doing their job. You should be doing better. If I'm paying for the tickets and I don't like the performance, I can't go on Yelp and let somebody know that, hey, this was a bad experience. The only way I could let you know is if you hear it, and hopefully that trickle or that goes all the way up to the top of the front office.
Do they not have Yelp for sports teams? They should if they don't. I like that idea a lot, Al. You may have just come
Giants
up with a million dollar
stars.
Idea.
Giants have two stars this year.
Danny Dimes, one star, four turnovers, terrible service, terrible entertainment value, would not go again.
How funny is that? Yeah, I just went to the game. This is not the experience that I expected. They sold me something that was completely off. That's
Parking
a good way
lot
to do it.
Sucks. Concession sucks. Team sucks. One star.
All right, last one, guys, and this is going off of the same vein of interactions with fans. But yesterday, after Aaron Rodgers went in and scored his rushing touchdown, he said, "I own you. I always will own you," to fans in Chicago Stadium. So it is acceptable for players to taunt fans. Alan, is this fact or cap?
It's fact for me, and I'm not one to, go taunt others, but there's a great video. Aaron Rodgers mentioned after the game, he said that he saw some gal giving double birds, right? Flipping him off. There's a great photo of when Aaron Rodgers is in that corner of the end zone and he's doing the "I own you." There's like a close-up of six or seven different people flipping him off. So it wasn't just one person. It was kind of a collective group doing it. Trav, if you're a bad man like that, the one thing you can't do, you cannot chirp or run your mouth if you can't back it up. Aaron Rodgers can back it up. He's done it against Chicago the entire time. And by the way, there's factual information. He owns Chicago, and he owned them yesterday.
Yeah, you better be right? I'm okay with it. I think it's fine. You better be careful, because these things can escalate pretty quickly, as we've seen in some other places. I just got through the Malice at the Palace doc on Netflix. Every time I see somebody chirping back into this, I'm like, you know what, maybe we just go back with your guys and leave this alone. But saying "I own you, I own you, I own you" the way he did, I thought it was perfectly fine. Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to talk. It's what he does.
I think this too, Trav, you know, it's not going to happen all the time. But how kind of comical and funny and poetic was it when Trae Young bows to the New York audience after he just, you know what I mean? Like, there's certain times where you can do it, but you better be able to back it up, because you look like a complete fool if you can't back it up.
All right, the Lakers open up the season tomorrow night, Al. I know you're excited, but just how excited are we talking about? Are you, like, not going to sleep tonight like a kid, like an 8-year-old before Christmas excited?
No.
What are we talking about?
No, it's all business tomorrow. Yeah, you know how you walked into this show this morning all business?
Sure.
Tomorrow for the Los Angeles Lakers, and we could spend some time on this, what the expectations are going to be, what the starting lineup should look like. If Laker fans want to react, 877-710-ESPN. It's the start of the new season starting tomorrow. Travis and Sliwa show on 710 ESPN.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
No, Brittany's like your age. Yeah. I don't know if that's really the audience
she
that
still
she's
does.
Connecting with.
She still does.
She's still got the young girls.
Let Emily and I handle who Brittany's audience is, please.
I was asking. I wasn't telling. I was asking. I was curious.
I wanted
to know what's going on. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles, helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com.
So I think our audience, we've incredibly confused them, because on Friday I was saying we're the biker show. Okay, like, bikers listen to us. And then today I completely turned left and I said, those who listen to Britney Spears, a lot of them also listen to us. Like, that's on their playlist. That's their rotation.
We reach out to so many different types
of
people.
So many different people. So
very
many different
eclectic.
People.
Very eclectic audience. When I was standing in line for my coffee on Saturday, this guy comes in, like, you know, same handlebar mustache, got tatted up.
Sure.
He's got a sleeveless shirt on. He gives me that, hey. Look like, hey, we're on the same team kind of look.
Yep.
And my wife goes, did that guy just give you a head nod? I'm like, yeah, what do you mean? These are my people.
And did you not even say anything to her? You just kind of gave her, like, the look? Like, not right now.
The mustache did all the talking.
Right now. By the way, did that guy also go up there and he's like, take a Frappuccino, four pumps, no sugar.
A small black coffee with extra sugars, please. No,
let's have a pumpkin latte.
I think both of the clerks are looking at us like, these guys, this doesn't look good. These don't look like Starbucks guys. This is a different way to go. All right, Lakers open up tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Warriors. We've been waiting for this since the Lakers got bounced by the Suns. It was basically, all right, they're going to get it figured out. They're going to fix it. They're going to tweak the roster a little bit. They're going to get healthy.
Yep,
wait until
rest.
Next year.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Get a ton of rest. Wait until next year. Well, next year starts tomorrow night, Al.
Yeah, listen, I'm excited about it, and I'm excited because, You know, Trav, you've kind of done this. Let's use the Dodgers as an example. Use the Rams as an example. And this is very unique. This, you know, doesn't happen in most cities. Expectations are very simple. Go handle your business. You know, the Dodgers, in a weird way, don't win the division. And it was, this is not the right way to put it. It's not a failed regular season. But they didn't win the division. Everybody thought they would win the division. That didn't happen. The Rams yesterday, you know, demolished the Giants, and you hear Sean McVay in the postgame as if they lost by 14 or something.
Right.
Those are the expectations. Not every team in L.A., but for a few teams in L.A., these are the current expectations. SC has different expectations right now, right? UCLA has different expectations. The Chargers are maybe surpassing the expectations through the first six games. So when we talk about the Los Angeles Lakers starting their season tomorrow, I'm excited. When I say I'm all business, too, when you're like, well, how do you feel about tomorrow? No, the regular season, it starts tomorrow. Now there's not going to be the excuse of, okay, it's just preseason. It's fine. It is preseason. Kind of get that out of the way. I think there are still a ton of questions for the Lakers. I have no idea. If you say who's starting tomorrow, and Coach, I think, is going to address the media right as our show is ending. They're going to have their regular practice availability. He'll address the media. I don't know who's starting tomorrow. I have no idea who's closing tomorrow. I know there's 11 new players on the Lakers roster. I know THT and Trevor Ariza, who were guys that you thought were going to be in the rotation, will be out 4 to 8 weeks. I think THT reevaluated in four. Trevor now probably reevaluated in 7 weeks. I think there are a lot of questions. Is Carmelo going to start? Who's going to close out the game? So I have a genuine curiosity about a team that has all these new players but has three superstars and a lot of veterans. That's what I think we're going to get. That will begin tomorrow at 7 o'clock.
All those questions that you're talking about and that you said you don't have answers for, I don't think Frank Vogel has answers for them right now.
Probably right.
I don't think LeBron James has, and Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis. They don't know. They have a rough idea of where they're going to start, of where they're going to try to figure some things out. But I think we'll see some stuff tomorrow night that we probably won't see a month from now. And I think we'll probably won't see some stuff tomorrow night that'll become a regular part of what they do by the time we get to Christmas and beyond. It's because the preseason was so uneventful, because they really weren't pushing. And by the way, they shouldn't. I think they did it exactly the way that they should have done it. But the experimentation, the tweaking of all of this, it starts tomorrow night. It doesn't get solved tomorrow night. It is step one of a very long journey that's going to have a bunch of twists and turns along the way. Hopefully on Wednesday when we come in and we're talking about it, they looked really good and everything fit together. LeBron looked good. Anthony Davis dominates and all these things, and we feel good about it. But if they don't, it's just that this is about the end, not the beginning.
What they could do and should do is you have enough talent to figure things out as you go and win, right? Like there's some teams that are out there where they need the first 30 games. You have no idea what you're going to expect from. Lakers have enough talent and enough players out there that have been in the league for a long time and enough superstars where Golden State, Phoenix, and Memphis, your first three games, you can figure things out and win at the same time. Phoenix actually going to be a tough game. Phoenix is, I don't know why, but more and more, and it was only during a preseason game where I looked at them and it's like, wow, they literally have every guy back. Like, that's a great advantage for them to throw out the same roster that they had last year and kind of go back to work. But there's some games here in the beginning that are going to be advantageous. And, you know, Trav, I think this is going to be the fun part, is you're going to praise them when you need to and you're going to criticize them as kind of the season progresses. And we'll see how things start out tomorrow.
They're going to win a bunch of games. I mean, they're going to win a bunch of games along the way. They have great players. The Dodgers, they need to win one. And here's the good news, Al. There is a formula that's pretty simple to follow to get right back into the series. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.